Praise the Lord Jesus. Here we are again. We thank God for another day and another week to get to know Him and to walk out His plan. Praise God. Let's worship Him who's worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, who is like unto Thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, hallelujah, for He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Shemasi karande, briko sukalambarande rimashande. We worship you, repelisondore obolo samarakasta, menta branch to membri de vildo. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Ajamara pakadasha la prakasikalante. Blessed be your holy name, Ashere Barakasa Palakrata Lavanda. Thank you, Lord. Rike di brase katapardes tu previdilo mosuto. Afre mika danjara steria malakasta. Worship you, worship you, worship you, worship you, worship you, worship you, worship you. Hamashtara mandaria balakasa ramandaria balakasa tarashta. Thank you, Lord. Ribede supra debel melevrite nosuko mahoro sukoyo. Worship you, worship you, worship you, Lord. Zaprete le privetuko sukalande. Thank you, Lord. Krapadile zebre dimenteriesti. Thank you, Lord. Hamasara da bariasta karabal madagasta. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. We call every need met. We call every yoke destroyed, every burden removed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have been constantly reading a prayer or another from the New Covenant, and we're enjoying that benefit. And so let's just open up our Bibles to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and read that prayer written there. We notice from the 14th verse, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you," verse 16, "according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's a very thought-provoking prayer, as usual. All the prayers that Paul has spoken here by the Spirit of God have so much depth and eternal perspective also at the same time. Praise God. But notice that we have a Father, and that we belong to the heavenly family, and it is His desire to strengthen us. True strength comes in the Spirit, inside, in the inner man, in our thoughts, in our heart, etc., that Christ will enjoy the journey that He has in us. He's already living in us, but He would like to be welcome, and the Anointed One, the anointing, would like to be treated like that, not just, okay, here you are, you know, but rather treated nicely, welcomed, that He enjoys the journey. And that will have a lot to do with our being yielded to Him, being rooted and grounded in love, being able to comprehend. Notice that it's with all saints. So there has to be contact with saints, and some kind of communion will go on with the saints, and that makes us more rounded in our knowledge, to know the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth mere knowledge, and we can actually be filled to such a place where we are filled with all the fullness of God. And then just when you thought you were operating at some level, God can do much more than all of that. Hallelujah. So this is a tremendous bringing together of words, but you can see God is divinely speaking here, giving us an understanding of how He thinks and who He is, all wrapped up there. Praise God. Let's see if we can read this in Kannada also, from verse 14 all the way to 21.
ಈ ಕಾರಣದಿಂದ ನಾನು ನಮ್ಮ ಕರ್ತನಾದ ಯೇಸು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ತಂದೆಯ ಮುಂದೆ ನನ್ನ ಮೊಣಕಾಲೂರಿ. ಯಾವ ತಂದೆಯ ಹೆಸರನ್ನು ಪರಲೋಕ ಭೂಲೋಕಗಳಲ್ಲಿರುವ ಕುಟುಂಬವೆಲ್ಲ ತೆಗೆದುಕೊಳ್ಳುವತ್ತದೋ ಆ ತಂದೆಯು ನಿಮಗೆ ತನ್ನ ಮಹಿಮೆಯ ಐಶ್ವರ್ಯಕ್ಕನುಸಾರವಾಗಿ ಆತನ ಆತ್ಮನ ಮೂಲಕ ಆಂತರ್ಯದಲ್ಲಿ ವಿಶೇಷ ಬಲವನ್ನು ಅನುಗ್ರಹಿಸುವ ಹಾಗೆಯೂ ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಹೃದಯಗಳಲ್ಲಿ ನಂಬಿಕೆಯ ಮೂಲಕ ವಾಸಿಸುವಂತೆಯೂ ನೀವು ಪ್ರೀತಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಬೇರೂರಿ ನೆಲೆಗೊಂಡು ನಿಂತು ಪರಿಶುದ್ಧರೆಲ್ಲರೊಂದಿಗೆ ಅದರ ಅಗಲ ಉದ್ದ ಆಳ ಮತ್ತು ಎತ್ತರವನ್ನು ಗ್ರಹಿಸುವಂತೆಯೂ ಜ್ಞಾನಕ್ಕೆ ವಿಯಾರುವ ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ಪ್ರೀತಿಯನ್ನು ತಿಳಿದುಕೊಂಡು ದೇವರ ಸಂಪೂರ್ಣತೆಯ ಮಟ್ಟಿಗೂ ಪರಿಪೂರ್ಣರಾಗುವ ಹಾಗೆಯೂ ನಿಮಗೆ ದಯ ಪಾಲಿಸಲಿ ಎಂದು ಆತನನ್ನು ಬೇಡಿಕೊಳ್ಳುತ್ತೇನೆ. ನಮ್ಮಲ್ಲಿ ಕಾರ್ಯ ಸಾಧಿಸುವ ತನ್ನ ಶಕ್ತಿಯ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ನಾವು ಬೇಡುವುದಕ್ಕಿಂತಲೂ ಯೋಚಿಸುವುದಕ್ಕಿಂತಲೂ ಅತ್ಯಧಿಕವಾದದ್ದನ್ನು ಮಾಡಲು ಶಕ್ತನಾದಾತನಿಗೆ ಸಭೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತ ಯೇಸುವಿನ ಮೂಲಕ ತಲತಲಾಂತರಕ್ಕೂ ಯುಗಯುಗಾಂತರಕ್ಕೂ ಮಹಿಮೆಯುಂಟಾಗಲಿ. ಆಮೆನ್.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have some capacity there in God to actually be filled with all of God. We have the ability to be strengthened in the inner man. Unbelievers cannot enjoy that. Hallelujah. They have a lot of natural strength also available, but this is the power of God to endure things that eyes cannot see, what ears have not heard, what seems to be so invisible. But notice that this is for us. It belongs to the church. It belongs to the body of Christ today. And we should take advantage of it. And we must continue to believe God that this is for us. And while you are this side of heaven, it would be good to take advantage of all of these things. Hallelujah. The power of God has done so much in us that sometimes We need to see with other eyes. We have to look away from the natural and look towards the invisible. We use the eyes of the Spirit for us to see all of that. And thank God that that's a real realm that surrounds us, all around us. Angels encamp around us. And heaven is closer than we can imagine. In the very breath of your own life. Hallelujah. But yet by emotions we can feel so distant. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Hallelujah. There is such a work that's been done in us by Jesus' redemptive power that we are now a very special type of people, a very unique type of people. And we are actually free and redeemed and bought back legally from the power of all iniquity. And we are actually a people that are zealous of good works. That's who we really are on the inside. We're full of the fire and the zeal of God to do good works. Amen. And that is the true nature of the believer. And other things may contradict all of that. And sometimes other things may convince you otherwise. But that's why we look into the mirror of God's word to see the things from the spirit realm, to become aware of what God has done. Amen. And so in the 13th verse it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Notice that this is in regards to his soon coming. And we are looking forward to that. And we should be excited about that. And we should be totally turned on to the things of God more than ever before. Hallelujah. Notice here that the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is going to appear gloriously. And we look forward to that. Hallelujah. And he paid the price to make sure that we can actually live in a place that was higher and more noble than we ever had before, in purity and zeal for the things of God. Amen. And so we are being taught again and reminded of these things. Thank God for that. The 11th verse in the same chapter says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Amen. So there is a present world and there is a world to come. Hallelujah. There are times and seasons, there are ages that God has arranged in his great wisdom, and that we understand to be some of the dimensions of God mentioned in that prayer, in the Ephesian prayer, the breadth and length and depth and height. Amen. Length could also refer to time periods, that you have an understanding of this time in which we live, this peculiar season in which we live, amen, and ages that are coming, and ages past, that you have a clear understanding of that, and that's when the scripture becomes more clear, and you understand how to handle certain thoughts in the word without making a mess of things, amen, that some things applied to the dispensation of the law and others to innocence and so forth, promise. And so getting a hold of that helps us to keep things in perspective. And we are in a time that is the most blessed. Amen. Amazing time, because we're going to be most likely, Jesus is coming very soon. And I believe most of us are just going to be caught up and seized out of the earth. And we will enjoy a glorious transformation of our bodies in that microsecond of time. Hallelujah. And we will see him as he is. Glory to God. And that's our blessed hope. And that we are looking eagerly for that. And that we are eventually arranging ourselves accordingly. That we have that comprehension and that understanding. And that is why we want to live in a certain way. Amen. Because there is a present age and there is a future age. And we are called to rule and reign with him forever. Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. So though we are risen in Christ and with Christ and seated with Christ right now, we will actually be physically sitting with him, physically reigning with him in the ages to come. Hallelujah. And that has been specifically reserved for his body, the church, which was a mystery. People didn't know what he was talking about when he said, upon this I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And they were thinking, what is that? And today you and I are the church and we're still trying to figure it out. Amen. And so he is also introducing to us the thought that he's the father of this family. Amen. That is his body at the same time and will eventually become the bride of Christ. Very interesting. All of these thoughts are there in that understanding of the breadth and length and depth and height of the wisdom, knowledge, and love of God. Amen. And so this is what we are doing. We're trying to, by the Spirit of God, continue to lay on layer after layer in our thinking and make these things more and more clear. And so our hope becomes more real to us. Hallelujah. And it should not reduce our movement forward, but rather increase our desire to fulfill the purpose of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, notice there, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. What a transfer of everything that God is to his family, to his own sons, his children. Praise God. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Glory to God. All of this has been set up, and this is the way God looks at us. Thank God for that. Amen. So every now and then we have to come out and see it God's way. How does God see us? Not what do I see in the natural? How do I feel looking at everything out there? But rather, the one who gave birth to us by his own will, not by the will of blood or the will of man, but who knew us and planned for us according to his good pleasure, amen, and brought us to the earth for such a time as this, amen. And how does he look at it? And how does he see us? And what is the expected end? Amen. And so we have to see these verses and prayerfully look at them over and over until they become part of our consciousness, our reality. That this is what moves us and this is what guides us and this is what gives us any future, any hope, any expectation, and what is set for us already. And so it is an understanding, a revelation, and that produces revolution. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. And I'm sure we are getting more and more fired up about it, that we are zealous for good things for the Lord and his way of doing things. Amen. That we were known by God before time began. Hallelujah. Let's look at another verse in John chapter 1. You notice verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can have a two-pronged attack at believing there. Believing in his name. Hallelujah. So those who called on the name of the Lord Jesus, thank God, that desperate call brought them into sonship, gave them authority to be sons. Brother Anup was telling me the other day about this man who helps us with some of our electrical stuff and all that, electronics also, I believe, and that he was very opposed to the things of Jesus, and he lived like that, and he was a fan of some movie star, and he was all zealous about that, and that movie star had visited Bangalore, and he had gone there in the zeal for him, and then there was a stampede, and suddenly he found himself on the ground and people were stepping all over him and he felt he was dying. And while he was in the throes of that death-like situation, he remembered his brother had become a believer, and his brother was telling him constantly, you know, Jesus loves you and so on and so forth, and give him tracts and all that. So he just called out from there, Jesus, Jesus, I believe, twice or so, just like that, with a vehement desire and a cry for help. And suddenly he just felt an arm grab him and pick him up, and it was a policeman. And so he lived. Praise God. He just knew that the name would do it. Praise God for that name. Hallelujah. And you know, it's nice to know that these things are real. Hallelujah. And so, as many as received them, to them gave he authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Just calling on that name ushers you into so much. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Woo, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. So even though it may look like, you know, our parents planned and so forth, but they had no idea that it was God. And God sent them, sent us into that family and brought us into the earth by his will, that it did not originate in blood and in the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. And it all begins to make sense that God intimately planned for each one of us that we are not a mistake by showing up on the planet. Amen. That it was his pleasure, it was his plan. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And all this reality is coming to us. Notice in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Nobody could have told us this but the one who came from the side or the very inward part of the Father, Jesus himself. Amen. The begotten Son. He's the one that has unveiled these things to us. And if you can strike him out of history, then we are wasting our time. But he came. Approximately 2,000 years ago, there was a man who walked this earth and who was crucified openly. Amen. A cruel death on a hill. And a title was fixed on his cross that here lies the King of the Jews, or here hangs the King of the Jews. Praise God, Jesus of Nazareth. And today we have all of this background, this Jewish, Judeo-Christian values, laws, etc., originating from this book. Hallelujah. And so we cannot ignore no matter what anybody says in the natural, that man has eternal consequences. That man did not just appear here by natural thinking or just the will of man or blood or flesh. Praise God. That we are here by eternal design. And we are given the opportunity to yield to the choices and choose ourselves who we would like to serve, because you've got to serve somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that. And so we're glad. We praise God for that. He came into the world. The world was made by him, and the world did not know him. That's the kind of place that we are living in. They have no clue where they came from, who made the world, who made them, just zero. But during that struggle for life, that ultimate pressure that has been applied, they cry out, amen, and the name of Jesus is available. And you are instantly brought into your eternal purposes, amen, and given a blessed hope, hallelujah. So let's read a little bit from John also, John 1, verse 12 and 13.
ಆದರೆ ಯಾರು ಆತನನ್ನು ಅಂಗೀಕರಿಸಿದರೋ ಅವರಿಗೆ, ಅಂದರೆ ಆತನ ಹೆಸರಿನ ಮೇಲೆ ನಂಬಿಕೆ ಇಡುವವರಿಗೆ, ದೇವರ ಪುತ್ರರಾಗುವ ಅಧಿಕಾರವನ್ನು ಆತನು ಕೊಟ್ಟನು. ಇವರು ರಕ್ತದಿಂದಾಗಲಿ ಇಲ್ಲವೇ ಶರೀರದ ಇಚ್ಛೆಯಿಂದಾಗಲಿ ಇಲ್ಲವೇ ಮನುಷ್ಯನ ಇಚ್ಛೆಯಿಂದಾಗಲಿ ಹುಟ್ಟಿದವರಲ್ಲ, ದೇವರಿಂದಲೇ ಹುಟ್ಟಿದವರು.
Hallelujah. Very profound and real. Verse 18 also. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
ಯಾವನು ಯಾವ ಕಾಲದಲ್ಲೂ ದೇವರನ್ನು ಕಂಡಿಲ್ಲ, ತಂದೆಯ ಎದೆಯಲ್ಲಿರುವ ಆ ಒಬ್ಬನೇ ಮಗನಾಗಿರುವ ಆತನು ಆತನನ್ನು ತಿಳಿಯಪಡಿಸಿದ್ದಾನೆ.
Praise the Lord. So we have these thoughts that you were created in Christ unto good works, and you're zealous for them, and that the world is looking for direction, for an example, someone to show them these truths, someone to unveil these things. And at that crucial moment, they will remember that somebody said this and somebody lived like this near them. Somebody affected them by this Christ life and this wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so that man got saved, and today he's a believer, and he's quite zealous for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Having said those things, let's not forget that that's what we are here for. Don't be carried away by this present evil world. It's called a present evil world. Hallelujah. We have to see it the way he sees it. Praise God. Look at Philippians and observe there. It says, Galatians. Sometimes you have to be pushed, and then only then you realize how evil the place is. Galatians chapter 1. Notice verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot sometimes keep that thinking. Sometimes you are more natural. You are thinking more like everybody else. And so a jolt is required to remind us every now and then that this is a present evil world. Hallelujah. Amen. That Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world. And that was the will of God, the will of our Father. And Jesus obeyed the will of the Father. And, you know, verse 5 ends with an amen. Like, that's the whole story. Amen. Glory to God. This is the beginning and this is the end of the whole thing. That we were born not of the will of man or the flesh or of blood. We were born because God knew beforehand. And we were given the ability to choose and accept that we are redeemed from this present evil world. And that was the will of God. So that was the will of God that we were born into, to enjoy redemption, to enjoy the freedom from this present evil world, and be zealous, on the other hand, for good works. Amen. Even as He was. And we thank God. We worship Him who alone is worthy of these high thoughts and these noble thoughts, these really pure thoughts toward us. Hallelujah. Good thoughts. Amen. And so we just want to take advantage of every moment we have to be able to study and prepare our hearts and receive all of this plan that He has for us. Amen. So we're not just aimlessly wandering around here. We have a future. We have a hope. We have an expected end. We have a plan in God. Amen. And so, my brother and sister, this is sober on one hand, but it's also exciting because this is the worst. Amen. This is the worst that you could ever have. Everything else is good news. Whatever you're going through right now is the worst that you will ever see. Can you imagine that? This is the worst time of your whole existence. Hallelujah. This is as bad as it gets. Everything else is good. From here on, it's good news. You're going to be seated and ruling and reigning with Him forever. Hallelujah. That unique place has been reserved for you, the church, the body of Christ, the family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So knowing that, the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of God, knowing that wisdom and love and all of those thoughts is what He's talking about, that we are bowing our knees before that, submitting to that Father, yielding to Him, opening ourselves to be strengthened with all of this mighty power so that we can know. See, it takes power for us to know these things. Amen. And so that divine energy of the sparks and electricity of heaven has to be applied to us to see it and know it and then begin to experience it with all the saints. Hallelujah. With the believers. And to live it out. Hallelujah. With zeal, fire for God. And that's why we were created like that. And we are created as new creatures, zealous of good works, peculiar people, zealous of good works, a very special group of people. Hallelujah. That we are a whole race and nation of kings and priests. Glory to God. That will rule and reign with Him forever. That's amazing. So my brother and sister, no matter what you're going through right now, just know, this is the worst you could ever be in. This is the worst. Everything else is wonderful. Hallelujah. So we need to see it from God's standpoint every now and then. We need to see how God sees it, how God wanted us to see it and enjoy and experience. Amen. So the more we grow and mature, the more we understand, the more we will live this out. Hallelujah. We will not have wasted our time in this present evil world. Hallelujah. It is a present evil world. That's the way God sees it. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's go. I think we need to hear Galatians 1, verse 4 and 5.
ಈತನು ನಮ್ಮನ್ನು ಕೆಟ್ಟದ್ದಾಗಿರುವ ಈಗಿನ ಪ್ರಪಂಚದೊಳಗಿಂದ ಬಿಡಿಸಬೇಕೆಂದು ನಮ್ಮ ತಂದೆಯಾದ ದೇವರ ಚಿತ್ತಕ್ಕನುಸಾರವಾಗಿ ನಮ್ಮ ಪಾಪಗಳಿಗೋಸ್ಕರ ತನ್ನನ್ನು ತಾನೇ ಒಪ್ಪಿಸಿದನು. ಆತನಿಗೆ ಯುಗ ಯುಗಾಂತರಗಳಲ್ಲಿಯೂ ಮಹಿಮೆಯಾಗಲಿ. ಆಮೆನ್.
ಪ್ರೇಸ್ ಗಾಡ್. ವಿ ವರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಫ್ಯೂ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಫಿಲಿಪಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೀಕ್. ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಟು ಗಾಡ್. That every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ was Lord. That not just in His presence, Paul said, but much more in the absence of Paul being there, that they should work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Some of those thoughts. By the power of God, not by just our own strength or our own flesh. Again, notice we were not born of the will of the flesh. We were not born of the will of man. And we are not supposed to continue to strive in the will of man. Because it is God which works in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. Amen. The one who gave birth to us has a will for us. And he wants it in his will. And he's working in us both to will and do his good pleasure. Amen. So he may not like just our own strivings in our strength, in our own ability. We may do that, but it may not attract his best. In fact, it may end up in smoke. It may end up as no good work. Hallelujah. But he looks forward to working in us that which is good in his sight. Amen. And so it's because of a love that passes all understanding. You know, sometimes we may look at maybe faults in our own upbringing and say, why do they demand that we should live like this and be like this? Give me a break. You know, that's their life. What about my life? And so we may not want to appreciate and bow down to their will. But here we have a perfect Father who knew us before time began when we had no clue who we were. We just showed up, so to speak. Who knew us before time began and planned for us and knew every step about us, the number of hairs on our head, and what would be the best for us in his sight, with whom we have to deal with eventually and reign with eventually, and with his own family again. And so it would make perfect sense to just yield to that. His will working in us. Amen. Both to will and do his good pleasure. So we can actually take our hands off the controls and hand it over to him. And not be so bothered that we may crash. But he actually wants us to let him come and pass it on. I've heard of, you know, flying. I have a nice desire to fly. It's always there with me, you know, and I guess the eventual flight will be the rapture. Amen. But I've heard in training that they would tell the trainee pilot, you know, the plane is with you. The controls are with you, you know. And you have to affirm that. You have to say, the plane is with me now. The controls are with me. Amen. So there has to be a handing off of controls. It's now with me. Amen. So God is trusting that he can give us the controls and we can say, actually, the controls are with you, and give it back to him and let it fly the way he wants it, the direction and course he wants. Amen. So there is tremendous fulfillment and wisdom in that, but we'll have to get used to it. Amen. And so may God's will be done. Hallelujah. And this is what we are studying. It's his will. Amen. And so we look forward to his appearing. Thank God. And we want to live in that zealous, fired up, completely given up for him place. Amen. And we have our own choices and we make mistakes and we fumble, but we can always confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, so that there is again a full fellowship restored where he doesn't remember any of our iniquities or our faults. What a perfect environment. Amen. Of course, we are not used to it, so we see the blame rising up even from our own conscience and from voices around. Amen. So we need to be so full of this reality that we are not moved by all of these other things that try to hinder us from enjoying the full will of God. Amen. And that is why we need to get very familiar and conscious that this is his will. This is his plan. Praise God. All right, back there in Philippians 2, that we may be harmless, blameless, sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hallelujah. And he is saying that he could actually see that he may have to suffer a martyr's life. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. See, even though he became Paul the aged in Philemon 1 and 9, I believe, he went as a martyr eventually. And it's as though his life was poured out like those pagan rites and rituals where they will pour a libation on the ground, you know, as a sacrifice, that his own life would be poured out. Amen. On top of the sacrifice, he had that knowing, and he said, I still rejoice. And he said it was in the service of their faith. Amen. So we're here in one sense to serve others. Praise God, even though we have to take note of ourselves also. Amen. But we're here to serve the faith of others. Let's go to the book of Acts for a minute. Acts, the 20th chapter. Paul was not able to have a real time of meeting with the leaders of the churches that he had founded. So he called them over to another location to spend time with them and give them counsel, because he was in a bit of a hurry to go to Jerusalem and all of that. So in Acts chapter 20, he calls them aside and he says in verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, number one, and to all the flock of all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. That's Acts chapter 20. Notice here that he is leaving. He says he won't be seeing my face anymore. He has that knowing. And we are not sure, actually, if he did see them again. It was a farewell message. And so he said, yes, you are here to serve other people's faith, but you need to, first of all, take care of yourself. Pay attention to yourself. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed primarily the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And so this is our main job, but we must remember that we have to be careful with our own lives also. Praise God, first of all. Otherwise, we won't be there to help others. Amen. And God knows that. He's not some dumb person. Amen. He's the only wise God. And so back in Philippians 2, notice here, he says, verse 70, yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And eventually he said, I'm going to be poured out upon the service of your faith. Hallelujah. He says, I rejoice, I joy with you all. That it was okay. If that was God's will for me, that's fine, he said. Amen. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Notice that back and forth joy that's going between the two of them. That this man is ready to lay it all up for us. And we see that and we rejoice with him also. Amen. So sincerity of motive comes out. Hallelujah. that we don't have some other plan, that it is for the well-being of others. And so they also pick up that joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's a mutual joy that is enjoyed between him and them. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for that. Then he goes on, because the Philippian epistle is a jail epistle. And that's where maximum joy is recorded. Amen. However, he says the limitation there. He says, for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Because he's in jail, he says, you know, I may have to send who? Timotheus, shortly, so that I am comforted when I know your state. Amen. So this is his relationship with the people he's ministering to. He gets comfort when he is fully aware, when he has been given information by someone that he knows, such as Timothy, who can value them the way he values them and communicate. Verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You know, there are different types of people in ministry, various grades, various types. But Timothy was different. Hallelujah. And that would convey a certain way of thinking and comfort to him about the state of the flock. And that would transmit joy to him. Amen. He goes on to say in 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. So they all have their own agenda and their own plan. But Timothy had a different kind of heart. And he could sense things the way Paul sensed them, and could be actually as though Paul himself were there. And Paul knew that. And he said, that is what I know about Timothy. That if I send him, it's as though I myself were there. Because he has a different way of thinking, a different mind. Amen. And there are not too many like that. You can see in Paul's own words. Hallelujah. So there are various motivations for serving the Lord, even though we serve the Lord. Amen. There are different plans. There are different motivations. But there is also a possibility of doing it out of another kind of motive also. The type that he's talking about here. Praise God. So we were talking about how we should prefer the other above ourselves. But not just, you know, not doing anything for our family and our own folk, you know, but also others. Praise God. And that's the point. The love of God is such an amazing love that God said, you must consider others and even place them in a place where you are willing to do things for them that you would not do for yourself. Amen. But you cannot ignore the fact that you and your family are also there if you're married. And Paul was also saying that kind of thing. Amen. And so we have to take this also into consideration. Praise God. And otherwise we will say all kinds of evil about the Lord, even though we don't mean to. It'll just come out of us, as though the Lord was to blame for all of this. Amen. Meanwhile, he's like, not at all. I'm just giving you a privilege here if you would like to. Amen. And Paul was so caught up with all of that, he was willing to, you know, do his own part. And if it was the will of God to be poured out as a drink offering, he was willing to do that too. Amen. So we must remember that we are living in times where people are basically thinking about themselves. That's the present evil world, that they will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. They will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That they will be heady and high-minded and strong-willed. Amen. Fierce. That we are inserted into that atmosphere. Hallelujah. Which may be tough to accept sometimes. But you have to see that it is God who said these things. Amen. And so, we're the only proof, hallelujah, that there's an alternate lifestyle. That we can shine as lights in this present, evil, perverse, dark generation. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we've said a few things. Let's see if we can read verse 19 and 20.
ನಾನು ತಿಮೊಥೆಯನನ್ನು ಬೇಗನೆ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಬಳಿಗೆ ಕಳುಹಿಸುವುದಕ್ಕೆ ಕರ್ತನಾದ ಯೇಸುವಿನಲ್ಲಿ ನಿರೀಕ್ಷಿಸುತ್ತೇನೆ. ಅವನ ಮುಖಾಂತರ ನಿಮ್ಮ ವಿಷಯವನ್ನು ತಿಳಿದು ನಾನು ಸಹ ಆದರಣೆ ಹೊಂದೇನು. ಅವನ ಹಾಗೆ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಕಾರ್ಯಗಳನ್ನು ಕುರಿತು ಸ್ವಾಭಾವಿಕವಾಗಿ ಚಿಂತಿಸುವವರು ನನ್ನ ಬಳಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಬೇರೆ ಯಾರೂ ಇಲ್ಲ.
Amen. So Paul has all of these thoughts here. And he goes on in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son, with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it go with me. And then he was also having hope for himself coming out of there. He says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Amen. He believes he'll come out of there and meet them also. Amen. But just in case he's not coming, he knows the right person to send is this person who has a different way of looking at things. Amen. And that would transmit exactly the state of the church, which would now affect Paul. Amen. And all of those thoughts are there. Paul had been through a lot, you know, and what an honor it would be to serve with such a person. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice there, the 16th verse, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So you could see there that the veiled English of that time, at my first answer, you could say defense. It's a trial, actually. Amplified said, at my first trial, no man acted in my defense. When he was defending his situation in the courts, what he was doing, why he was preaching, etc., against all of those who accused him of various motives, everybody left him, he said. Amen. At my first trial, no one acted in my defense as my advocate or took my part or even stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Amen. So he's gone through some stuff where people just bailed on him when he needed someone to stand with him. You know, no matter how much of a spiritual giant you are, you do require someone of a like mind to stand with you. Amen. And Paul needed that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so in 17, the next verse is, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the gospel message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was delivered out of the jaws of the lion. Amen. So you have this reality here that the Lord himself experienced, that people just generally bailed. And he said to his own disciples, will you also leave? Amen. And eventually they all did leave. John came back to the cross while he was hanging there. Amen. So this is not something new. This is the path that is laid for us, that it can happen like this. Amen. But that the Lord will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will stand by you and strengthen you, so that this duty and this job and this gospel might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and you are delivered again. Amen. It is normal, and it must be seen clearly. Hallelujah. That there are not too many. So if you observe, praise God, he had to do something about it. He said, verse 12, Antichicus, 2 Timothy 4:12, have I sent to Ephesus the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchments. So he had this ability to study while he was in prison. That's how he got the strength. He said, I need to continue meditating and praying and studying. Don't forget my notebooks. Don't forget my parchments. Hallelujah. And so we have to get also, familiar with these kind of things. Thank God that he is showing us the way here. Amen. When everybody else bails, you have the Lord. And how does that become real to you? Through the books, the Bible, the notes, the study. Amen. Praise God. And so we are left with the same, again, wonderful tools to make this real. Hallelujah. That even though people may have various plans, various agendas, various reasons for whatever they are doing and whatever they are doing together. Amen. You can always count on the Lord to never leave you, never forsake you. Amen. But there will be some who also have that heart, who are bothered about the things of God rather than just their own agenda. Amen. This is as mildly as we can put it. We don't want to make it worse than it already is. This is it. Amen. So this should not be a surprise that this is the way it is. Amen. At his first defense, nobody stood with him. Amen. And so this can happen. Even if you are the most anointed person next to Jesus on the earth, and even if you were Jesus himself, people will bail. That's how it is. Amen. And John came back and stuck with him. And eventually his mother was given to his care. Amen. From the cross he said, this is now your son. Mom, this is where you should live, and so forth. And so we are not strange to all of this. God is seeing everything. God knows what's going on. God knows us very well. And he has left us here for this purpose. And so let us be strengthened from all of this. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's see if we can read something. I think we read 20 of Philippians chapter 2. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Let's hear 21 also in Kannada.
ಎಲ್ಲರೂ ಸ್ವಕಾರ್ಯಗಳ ಮೇಲೆ ಮನಸ್ಸಿಡುವತ್ತಾರೆಯೇ ಹೊರತು ಯೇಸು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ಕಾರ್ಯಗಳ ಮೇಲೆ ಮನಸ್ಸಿಡುವುದಿಲ್ಲ.
Well, praise God. And so each one may argue and bring forth their points. And so God is the judge. Amen. But we need to make sure that our agenda is not just the plan, but rather God's will. Amen. That there are relationships, there are connections in the things of God that transcend our own plan, our own agenda. Amen. And we may seem weird to just be in that kind of a relationship. But Paul is magnifying that. Paul is saying, in it a good view, a good point. You know, this is a boy that, you know, has stayed with me like a son. In this gospel, in the service of other people's faith. Amen? And so he's the one that I'm going to send, verse 23 says. Him therefore I hope to send presently to whom, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Amen. So we have all of this there, and then comes the next point, verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, another person. So he had a couple of people that he knew he could send, and here it was necessary for him to send. Amen. He had Titus, he had Tychicus, he had, you know, Epaphroditus. Amen. He had some people like that. He had Timothy, he had some people he knew that he could send. And here he said, I believe it is necessary for me to send him to you. Why? My brother and companion in labor. Because he has worked with me. Amen. And fellow soldier, that's plenty. Somebody who stood in the trenches with you while the bullets were flying. Boom, he was there. He didn't bail. Amen. Shoo, boom, people are bleeding left, right, and center, but he's there with you. Amen. Fellow soldier, your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. He said, this man is going to be sent to you because he actually took care of my wants. Amen. And he took that interest in my wants, you know, in a special way, as you keep reading. Not just his wants. Amen. Some people stop there, just their wants. But go out there and minister to their other person's wants. Not really. Ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that you heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Amen. In this case, you should realize that he's unmarried. He's just a single man. And all he's doing is doing things for the Lord and the service of God. Amen. And someone coming and helping him and ministering to his needs and, you know, things that he requires is a very big deal. Amen. And this person is already busy, most likely in the pastoral capacity. Hallelujah. And a true heart, he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard. You know, he knew that they knew he was sick. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that it may be less, that I may be less sorrowful. Amen. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service to me. Isn't that interesting? They were supposed to minister to him, but they didn't do that. And so this man went out of his way and ministered to Paul and ignored his own health. And he was ready to die. He was on the deathbed. Amen. And so they heard about him being sick like that. And so Paul said, because of the mercy of God and the goodness of God, he was healed and raised back, and he needed to send him to them. so that they would see how faithful God was and how good God was. Amen. So we are not saying that you have to ignore your own life and your own health. Amen. And just be ministering to others. But take care of yourself. However, it does show motive. It does show reasons, plans, agendas. All of them come out there. Amen. All of this is being seen. And eventually, praise God, we have to go before Jesus, who has already seen Paul and, you know, all of these various types of characters and agendas, and who's going to reward each one. Hallelujah. All right, let's see now if we can bring this also out in Canada. Verse 22 all the way to 24 in Canada.
ಆದರೆ ಅವನನ್ನು ನೀವು ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿಸಿ ತಿಳಿದುಕೊಂಡಿದ್ದೀರಿ. ಮಗನು ತಂದೆಗೆ ಹೇಗೋ ಹಾಗೆಯೇ ಅವನು ಸುವಾರ್ತೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ನನ್ನೊಂದಿಗೆ ಸೇವೆ ಮಾಡಿದ್ದಾನೆ. ಆದ್ದರಿಂದ ನನ್ನ ಸಂಗತಿಯು ಹೇಗಾಗುವುದೋ ಅದನ್ನು ತಿಳಿದ ಕೂಡಲೇ ಅವನನ್ನು ಕಳುಹಿಸುವುದಕ್ಕೆ ನಿರೀಕ್ಷಿಸುತ್ತೇನೆ. ಇದಲ್ಲದೆ ನಾನು ಸಹ ಬೇಗನೆ ಬರುವೆನೆಂದು ಕರ್ತನಲ್ಲಿ ದೃಢವಾಗಿ ನಂಬಿದ್ದೇನೆ.
Hallelujah. Amen. So he had the desire to come himself also and meet them. But it was important that Epaphroditus should be seen by them and receive ministry from him, so that they will know that God is merciful, that God had mercy on him and on Paul. And that if you do continue like that, you could suffer in your body. You know, we are living in the natural body also. Amen. And that has its own limits. And we thank God for the ability of God at the same time. Amen. But we need to take care of ourselves. Amen. And we need to be able to see that it's going to eventually affect the testimony of the Lord and His mercy and how good He is. And so in order to continue ministering effectively, we need these thoughts. Praise God. And we need to fulfill the plan of God for our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. So I think we should hear the whole verse 25 all the way to 30 in Kannada also.
ಆದಾಗ್ಯೂ ನನ್ನ ಕೊರತೆಯನ್ನು ನೀಗುವುದಕ್ಕೆ ನೀವು ಕಳುಹಿಸಿದಂತ ನನ್ನ ಸಹೋದರನೂ ಜೊತೆ ಕೆಲಸದವನೂ ಸಹ ಭಟನೂ ಆಗಿರುವ ಎಪಫ್ರೊದೀತನನ್ನು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಬಳಿಗೆ ಕಳುಹಿಸುವುದು ಅವಶ್ಯವೆಂದು ನಾನು ನೆನೆಸಿದ್ದೇನೆ. ಅವನು ನಿಮ್ಮೆಲ್ಲರನ್ನು ಕುರಿತು ಹಂಬಲಿಸುತ್ತಿದ್ದನು. ತಾನು ಅಸ್ವಸ್ಥನಾಗಿದ್ದ ವರ್ತಮಾನವನ್ನು ನೀವು ಕೇಳಿದ್ದರಿಂದ ತುಂಬಾ ವ್ಯಸನಪಟ್ಟನು. ಅವನು ರೋಗದಲ್ಲಿ ಬಿದ್ದು ಸಾಯುವ ಹಾಗಿದ್ದನೆಂಬುದು ನಿಜವೇ. ಆದರೆ ದೇವರು ಅವನನ್ನು ಕರುಣಿಸಿದನು. ಅವನನ್ನು ಮಾತ್ರವಲ್ಲದೆ ನನಗೆ ದುಃಖದ ಮೇಲೆ ದುಃಖ ಬಾರದಂತೆ ನನ್ನನ್ನು ಕರುಣಿಸಿದನು. ಆದ್ದರಿಂದ ನೀವು ಅವನನ್ನು ನೋಡಿ ತಿರುಗಿ ಸಂತೋಷ ಪಡಬೇಕೆಂತಲೂ, ನನಗೆ ಕೂಡ ದುಃಖವು ಕಡಿಮೆಯಾಗಬೇಕೆಂತಲೂ ನಾನು ಅವನನ್ನು ಬಹಳ ಜಾಗ್ರತೆಯಿಂದ ಕಳುಹಿಸಿದ್ದೇನೆ. ಆದ್ದರಿಂದ ನೀವು ಅವನನ್ನು ಪೂರ್ಣ ಸಂತೋಷದಿಂದ ಕರ್ತನಲ್ಲಿ ಸೇರಿಸಿಕೊಳ್ಳಿರಿ ಮತ್ತು ಅಂಥವರನ್ನು ಸನ್ಮಾನಿಸಿರಿ. ಹೀಗಿರಲಾಗಿ ನೀವೇ ನನಗೆ ಮಾಡಬೇಕೆಂದಿರುವ ಉಪಚಾರದಲ್ಲಿ ಕಡಿಮೆಯಾದದ್ದನ್ನು ಪೂರ್ತಿ ಮಾಡುವುದಕ್ಕಾಗಿ ಅವನು ಜೀವದ ಆಶೆಯನ್ನು ಲಕ್ಷ್ಯ ಮಾಡದೆ ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ಕೆಲಸದ ನಿಮಿತ್ತ ಸಾಯುವ ಹಾಗಿದ್ದನು.
ಆಮೆನ್. ಪ್ರೈಸ್ ಗಾಡ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡೀಟೇಲ್ ದೇರ್ ವಿಚ್ ರಿಯಲಿ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ಸ್ ಅಸ್ ಟು ಸೀ the inner workings of these men and their emotions and all that's going on. And it's very powerful. Praise God. He doesn't stop though. By the third chapter, he tells us to rejoice. He's not removing the joy from it at all. In verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." No matter what, do it in the Lord's joy. Amen. That's strength. That's the power. That's the communication of the spiritual power. He says, if I repeat things, don't be moved by that. It's for your sake. So sometimes it may look like repetition. Oh, I've heard that before. I have to, you know, get another message and I need to say something else. And people pride themselves in things like that. That they never preach the same message twice. I've heard these things. You know, they always say something new. Well, glory to God. There are people who are only going out looking for that, something to thrill them. But what is important is that certain things are brought to the memory again and again and again and go in and form a firm footing and foundation, especially when you are living in a present, evil, fierce time. You need to be able to be fortified, strengthened inside, and be able to do what is right in the midst of it all, because He's coming. Amen. And we're going to be seeing Him soon, and we will get to be awarded for all of this. Amen. And we're going to rule and reign with Him forever. Might as well get ready for some real decoration, some real honor. So He continues like that to repeat things. He said, it's not grievous, it's for you and it's for your safety that I'm saying this again and again, so that it goes in and you can always remember it and it'll always be fresh to you, because this is important. Hallelujah. He said, beware of the dogs, beware of the people of the concision, those who bring legalism, circumcision. He says, we are actually circumcised in the spirit. By the word of God, the old man has been killed. That is what circumcision is supposed to be, that the old nature is gone. Hallelujah. Praise God, the old man has been cut off. He said in Romans 2:28 that we are circumcised in our spirit, in our heart, that's the real Jew. The real Jew is inside. The real Jew is the one who has believed God with the heart. Amen. Bowed his knee inside in submission to God, and his tongue has declared that. 28 of Romans 2, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Amen. So this externalism sometimes is just for the sake of people, so that they'll praise you and pat you on the back. But God sees the heart. That's why it's possible to be a murderer, because you may not lift a knife and go, you know, and stab them or butcher them, but in your heart you hated them. You just hate the very idea of them. And God sees the heart. Amen. So Cain may have slain his brother physically with a knife, but we can do so in our thoughts by just not loving them. Of course, we cannot just be close to everybody, but you can love them from far also. There are some that you may not be able to get too close to because you are approving of their behavior. Amen. There's some that you have to let them be. I think we should look at that. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians also, the 3rd chapter. Verse 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Amen. You're going to get tired of all of this sometimes because it's hard on the flesh. Amen. Observe. Verse 11. Or maybe we can start from verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So they got to a place where they were kind of just mooching or, you know, taking things for granted. Amen. They were not even working, some of them. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. Amen. The word disorderly, actually, if you look at it a little closely, it has more connotations than just order. It means those who are insubordinate. They have not submitted. Naturally, if you are submitted, there's an order. If you're not submitted, it's a disorder. Amen. So they are not submitting. He hears that there are some which walk among them that are not submitting, working not at all, but are busybodies. There's some people like that. They just, no matter what, they're not just going to do anything. They're going to find some other excuse. Verse 12, now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Hallelujah. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. All of this can make you get, you know, bugged. You get tired of doing the right thing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. But count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So you may have to give them space and not get so close to them so they think you have approved of their behavior. You love them. Amen. And you are waiting to see the change. And some do, some don't. Hallelujah. Some may not submit. Some may just want to do it their own way. And you may part ways. Hallelujah. Amen. It happens. So it's all in this framework that we are talking about. That there were some who had their own plan, some did not submit, some were, you know, orderly, some were disorderly, some didn't want to work, some, all of these varieties. And then you have some that would love the Lord and ready to serve and ready to just be of the right heart. Wow, that's amazing. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. So there's all of this going on in the body of Christ then and now. Okay, let's see if we can put them down in Canada also. Verse 10 all the way to 15.
ಇದಲ್ಲದೆ ನಾವು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಸಂಗಡ ಇದ್ದಾಗ ಕೆಲಸ ಮಾಡಲೊಲ್ಲದವನು ಊಟ ಮಾಡಬಾರದೆಂದು ನಿಮಗೆ ಆಜ್ಞಾಪಿಸಿದೆವಷ್ಟೇ. ಆದರೆ ನಿಮ್ಮಲ್ಲಿ ಕೆಲವರು ಯಾವ ಕೆಲಸವನ್ನೂ ಮಾಡದೆ ಇತರರ ಕೆಲಸದಲ್ಲಿ ಮಾತ್ರ ತಲೆಹಾಕಿ ಅಕ್ರಮವಾಗಿ ನಡೆಯುತ್ತಾರೆಂದು ಕೇಳಿದ್ದೇವೆ. ಅಂಥವರು ಮೌನವಾಗಿ ತಮ್ಮ ಕೆಲಸವನ್ನು ಮಾಡುತ್ತಾ ತಮ್ಮ ಸ್ವಂತ ಆಹಾರವನ್ನೇ ಊಟ ಮಾಡಬೇಕೆಂದು ನಮ್ಮ ಕರ್ತನಾದ ಯೇಸು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ಮೂಲಕ ನಾವು ಆಜ್ಞಾಪಿಸಿ ಪ್ರಬೋಧಿಸುತ್ತೇವೆ. ಸಹೋದರರೇ, ನೀವಾದರೂ ಒಳ್ಳೆಯದನ್ನು ಮಾಡುವುದರಲ್ಲಿ ಬೇಸರಗೊಳ್ಳಬೇಡಿರಿ. ಈ ಪತ್ರಿಕೆಯ ಮೂಲಕವಾಗಿ ಹೇಳಿರುವ ನಮ್ಮ ಮಾತಿಗೆ ಯಾವನಾದರೂ ವಿಧೇಯನಾಗದಿದ್ದರೆ ಅವನನ್ನು ಗುರುತು ಇಟ್ಟುಕೊಂಡು ಅವನಿಗೆ ನಾಚಿಕೆಯಾಗುವಂತೆ ಅವನ ಸಹವಾಸದಲ್ಲಿ ಸೇರಬೇಡಿರಿ. ಆದರೂ ಅವನನ್ನು ವೈರಿ ಎಂದು ಎಣಿಸದೆ ಸಹೋದರನೆಂದು ಎಣಿಸಿಕೊಂಡು ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಹೇಳಿರಿ.
Glory to God. So we have a lot of stuff here that we can go through, and these prayers are therefore very important to see the length and breadth and depth and height, to see the love of God in all of this and handle all of this, that they are still your brother and you can pray for them and bless them, but you may not approve of these things, etc., etc., etc. And so God will help us, and you can get weary of all of that. You need a break, and you need to take care of yourself. Otherwise, it can get to you. And you may not just live the full course. Hallelujah. So all of this is there, you see. We thank God that He'll help us. Hallelujah. And it'll really help us all. In the end, it's good to be able to do it properly in the Word and in the love of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, which we will come to shortly, while we go back to Philippians, we see by the third chapter, he's already talking about some folks that he referred to as dogs, that were very bothered about externalism. Amen. They didn't do this. They didn't cover their head. They didn't where this, they, you know, blah, blah, whatever. And this was deeper than all of that. They did not mutilate themselves. They did not cut themselves. They were those who thought you were spiritual if you obeyed the law. Otherwise, you were just saved and you were not spiritual. Indeed, we are not negating the law, but it has to be done by obeying love, the commandment to love. And that can only be done from revelation and understanding of the Word of God. And Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that. Hallelujah. And Paul said he used to be blameless concerning the law. That if you were looking at externalism, he was the cream. And he profited out of it beyond others who were constantly chasing him to kill him. They could not even come close to his own resume in the things of the law and externalism. Compared to the Philippians who maybe got circumcised later on in life, he was circumcised when he was 8 days old. And he was a Jew of Jews, Pharisee, you know, and from the sect and the family of Benjamin, all of these things he lists out there in the third chapter. But by verse 7, he says, what things were gain to me? Some people like to use these natural things as a gain. You can still do that, he said. But he said, what things were gain to me, which I could have used for gain? He says, I counted loss for Christ. There's nothing wrong with the natural side of things being used for gain. But really, God prefers that you trust Him. Amen. And you have to be able to weigh it out and see which one is really valuable. Amen. The things which I could have gained from, he said, I counted it as loss. Why? For Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, for that revelation, that understanding. But I thought you already knew him. Paul said, you think you know God? You think you can really get to know him? Just rejoice in what you know and desire for more. But he's infinite. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung, that I may win Christ. He's not worried about whether he'll be resurrected or whether he will have a resurrection body. That's part of your salvation. What's he bothered about? Verse 9, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why are you bringing all this up? He's saying that it is possible at a certain level of Christianity and walk, you will think that you now have certain qualifications of your own. You know who I am? Who are you? You're the same guy who got saved. And all you have is Jesus. Amen. That you have now got a string of your own righteousness. Not the simple righteousness which is of faith. Hallelujah. Then he goes on, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Are you saying that you don't know if you'll be raised from the dead? No, that's not what he's saying. But that in the resurrection, there are grades of resurrection. Each one in his order. Christ's own resurrection, then others at his coming. Some are going to shine this way, some are going to shine that way. He said, that's what I'm bothered about. That all these things that I've done will produce a similar grade in my resurrection. That I will find out that nothing hindered me from the full shining which I should have got. Amen. Praise God. There's plenty there. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15 now. We'll be back here. Our time slipping away. But notice 1 Corinthians 15 and observe there. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Glory to God. It's good to see that. Maybe we can hear that also as we're closing. From verse... Go ahead.
ಇದಲ್ಲದೆ ಆಕಾಶದ ದೇಹಗಳು ಮತ್ತು ಭೂಮಂಡಲದ ದೇಹಗಳು ಇವೆ ಆದರೆ ಆಕಾಶದ ಮಹಿಮೆ ಒಂದು ವಿಧ ಮತ್ತು ಭೂಮಂಡಲದ ಮಹಿಮೆ ಮತ್ತೊಂದು ವಿಧ ಸೂರ್ಯನ ಮಹಿಮೆ ಒಂದು ವಿಧ ಚಂದ್ರನ ಮಹಿಮೆ ಮತ್ತೊಂದು ವಿಧ ನಕ್ಷತ್ರಗಳ ಮಹಿಮೆ ಇನ್ನೊಂದು ವಿಧ ಮಹಿಮೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಒಂದು ನಕ್ಷತ್ರಕ್ಕೂ ಇನ್ನೊಂದು ನಕ್ಷತ್ರಕ್ಕೂ ಹೆಚ್ಚು ಕಡಿಮೆಯುಂಟಷ್ಟೇ ಸತ್ತವರಿಗಾಗುವ ಪುನರುತ್ಥಾನವು ಅದೇ ಪ್ರಕಾರವಾಗಿರುವುದು ದೇಹವು ಲಯಾವಸ್ಥೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಬಿತ್ತಲ್ಪಡುತ್ತದೆ ನಿರ್ಲಯಾವಸ್ಥೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಎಬ್ಬಿಸಲ್ಪಡುತ್ತದೆ
ಆಮೆನ್ ಸೋ ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಸೀ ಇಫ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರೀಡ್ ಅನದರ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಟೂ ಇನ್ ಕನ್ನಡ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಫಿಲಿಪಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಕ್ಲೋಸ್ ಫಿಲಿಪಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ಅಂಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿಸ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕೌಂಟೆಡ್ ಅಸ್ ಡಂಗ್ Whatever he thought he could just boast about, he said he'd rather find himself all the time simply trusting God and his righteousness. Amen. By chapter 3, it is a prayer that he may know him. Amen. And that becomes the highest. Revelation of God becomes the most precious thing in your life. And we already saw a couple of weeks ago that you can say you know him when you keep his word. Otherwise, you just don't know him. So he's saying, I'd like to know him more. I'd like to handle this word and know him in greater depth by walking these things out. Hallelujah. All right, chapter 3, and we can read verse 9 and 10.
Maybe. ನಾನು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನಲ್ಲಿರುವವನಾಗಿ ಕಾಣಿಸಿಕೊಳ್ಳಬೇಕೆಂದು ನ್ಯಾಯಪ್ರಮಾಣದಿಂದಾಗುವ ಸ್ವನೀತಿಯನ್ನಾಶ್ರಯಿಸದೆ ಆತನನ್ನು ನಂಬುವುದರಿಂದ ದೊರಕುವಂತ ಅಂದರೆ ನಂಬಿಕೆಯ ಆಧಾರದಿಂದ ದೇವರು ಕೊಡುವಂತ ನೀತಿಯನ್ನೇ ಹೊಂದಿ ಅದ್ದೇನೆ ಹೀಗೆ ಆತನನ್ನು ಆತನ ಪುನರುತ್ಥಾನದಲ್ಲಿರುವ ಶಕ್ತಿಯನ್ನು ಆತನ ಬಾಧೆಗಳಲ್ಲಿ ಪಾಲುಗಾರನಾಗುವುದನ್ನು ತಿಳಿದುಕೊಂಡು ಆತನ ಮರಣಕ್ಕೆ ಸ್ವರೂಪನಾಗುವೆನು
So we'll read one more verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Amen. And that is where you have these various types of groups known as order. It's a kind of military term, the body of soldiers, the corps, etc. They're called tagma, order. Everyone in his own order. Amen. And so Christ is the first fruit. He's the first rank. Then other ranks will come. Hallelujah. So as soldiers bear that decoration for courage, for valor, etc. in war, we will also bear various medals that will shine forever. Hallelujah. Christ will be number one. Verse 23 and 22 also in Kannada would be good. Let's start in 22.
Yava prakara adamanalli ellaru sayuvavaradaro ade prakara kristanalli ellaru jeevitaraguvaru. ಆದರೆ ಪ್ರತಿಯೊಬ್ಬನು ತನ್ನ ತನ್ನ ತರಗತಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಇರುವನು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನು ಪ್ರಥಮ ಫಲ ತರುವಾಯ ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ಬರೋಣದಲ್ಲಿ ಆತನವರು
Amen. So you can imagine being honored in front of, you know, world television for this and that, you know, Nobel Peace Prize and this and that, laureates and nominations for all of these things. It will not compare at all to being recognized in eternity by the Lord Himself and made to sit with Him and reign with Him forever. That's amazing. Amen. Let's worship Him. Thank you, Lord. 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 Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you. 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 No matter what goes on in our thoughts, no matter what goes on in our plans, we would like to submit to your plans, to your will, O Lord. For we are a work in progress, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we may do that in the energy of the Spirit, that God working in us both to will and do his good pleasure. Help us with all of these multitude of various thoughts, that we may walk in the center of your will. Come home in glory. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. If you'd like to give this a great opportunity, we can do so in Jesus' name, expecting the word to work. Hallelujah. And have a blessed week ahead, and I'm sure we are moving in the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've got the victory living inside of me. I've got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to go slack. Gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won. I've got the got the greater one. I can't hold.